All right, turn back with me to John 14. John chapter 14. The last time that we were in John 14, which was a few weeks ago, we ended the text with verse 6. But we read on down through verse 11 during that message. We read on down and we saw the truth that our Lord and His Father are one. They're one. And I want to look over those verses again, but then we're going to continue on down to verse 14 for the text. Where we left off in verse 6, it says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and have seen him. Now, he just told them that the only way that a sinner is going to see God the Father is in God the Son. That's what he told them. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. No man comes to the Father but by me. No man. Verse 8 says, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Now, Philip had no idea what he was saying. None whatsoever. He didn't mean any disrespect. Not at all. This was one of the Lord's disciples. But he couldn't understand what the Lord was saying. And he had not been shown the truth of this yet. He had not been revealed the truth of this. And what he actually said was a mouthful. What he actually said was a mouthful. It sums up every man and woman's religion before God reveals who Christ really is. You know, everybody knows the name Jesus. Every single person knows the name Jesus. And every person has an idea of Jesus, right? Who he is and this thing of God and salvation. And every single person has a religion. They're worshiping something. And this is their religion before God reveals who Christ really is. Now, here is man's religion. We're not satisfied with Christ. We want to get to God. That's every man's religion. We're not satisfied. He's not our stopping point. He's the one who can show us the way. He's the one who can get us there. He is our in to God. I know somebody. And He can get me there. He can get me to God. We want to see the Father. That's who we want to see. Christ is great and all. Don't get me wrong. He's great. But show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied. Verse 9, Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? What he's saying is, how many times do I have to tell you this? How many times do I have to tell you this? Just here in John, look back with me at John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 17. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Now, nobody misunderstood what he was saying. He made himself equal with God. Did he mean what he was saying? Absolutely. Absolutely. Verse 19, then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. He that honoreth not the Son. We see so many signs and so many billboards that do not honor the Son. And they are not honoring the Father. Look at John 6, verse 41. It says, The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? I came down from heaven. John 8. John 8, verse 58 says, Jesus saith unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. What does he mean by that? He means before Abraham was, I am. That's what he means. Before Abraham. What do you mean? Abraham was 4,000 years ago from here? 3,000, something like that? And our Lord was born 2,000 years ago? What does he mean by that? He means before Abraham was, I am. I made Abraham. I formed him in the belly. Look at John 10. John 10, verse 30 says, Our Lord said, I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. You're making yourself God. We know you're just a man, but you're making yourself God. Look at John 12. Verse 44 says, Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. Now, some people say I look like my dad, and some people say I look like my mom. Spitting image. Some people really do. I mean, mother and daughter could be sisters, you know. That's not what he means. That's not what he means. He says, He that hath seen me, hath seen my Father. And the disciples, they were with him through every bit of this. He kept telling them this over and over again. I came down from heaven. Before Abraham was, I am. If you've seen me, you have seen the Father. They were with him through every bit of this. And he says back in John 14, verse 9, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father?" Why do you keep saying, "Show me the Father"? You don't know who I am, Philip. Why do you keep saying that to me? Don't you know that I am the God? How many gods are there? One. I am the only true and living God in human flesh. Don't you know that, Philip? Verse 10 says, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." Now, as we said last time, God is a Trinity. God is a Trinity. And our Lord right here is talking about His Father. And our Lord is the Son. And in verse 16, He said, "I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But you know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Father, Son, and Spirit, God. Now, hold your place right there. I want you to see one verse in 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5, verse 7 says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one." They are one. We sinners need to get it out of our minds that the Father is God. And the Son is the offspring of God. And the Spirit is their assistant. That's what natural man thinks. There is one God. Hebrews 1 verse 8 says, "But unto the Son the Father saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom." The Father said to the Son, "Your throne, O God." So our Lord says back in John 14, "Have I been with you this long and you still don't know me?" He said, "You believe in God, believe in me." That's what He said in verse 1. He said, "If you know me, you know the Father." That's what He said in verse 7. He said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." That's what He said in verse 9. And right here in verse 10, He says, "If you hear me, you are hearing the Father." Believe, know, see, and hear. What He's telling us is, I and my Father are one. We're one. Verse 11 says, "Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake." Now the disciples, while they were with the Lord for 3.5 years, after the Lord left, he baptized them with the Holy Ghost, didn't He? And they stood up and they preached messages, and thousands repented and turned to the Lord. But while they were with the Lord for 3.5 years, they were so weak in faith. They were always so weak. If you think about their stories and think about the things that happened, rarely did they have strong faith. It was usually almost non-existent. You think about the stories. Now, they had to have at least the grain of a mustard seed. But they were always so afraid. And I get it. I understand. We all get it. But you think about those stories. They were out there in that ship, okay? And all of them were sailors, or most of them were sailors. They had their sea legs. They did it by trade. And the sea comes and the waves were boisterous and they said, Lord, we're all going to die. We're all going to die. And then they got out into a little ship without the Lord one time, and the Lord came walking on the water. And it says they were so afraid. The Lord that they had been with and known, the miracle worker, the one who just fed 5,000. Right after he fed 5,000 is when they got out in that little ship and they were so afraid. And then how many times did they see things like, we forgot to bring bread. What's everybody going to eat after the Lord fed 5,000? And the Lord asked him one time, he said, do you not remember the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and the 5,000? You don't remember that? And then when they came to take our Lord, Judas came with all those men, that mob of men. They came with their sticks and their swords. And Peter, I can't imagine how frightening that would be, really, that scenario. Here you have the Lord and 11 men, and here comes this mob, and they mean business. And Peter takes that sword out, and buddy, he starts swinging. He's fighting for his life. He's fighting for his Lord, but he's fighting for his life. And the Lord said, Peter, don't you realize that 72,000 angels are on reserve right now, waiting for the command? Can you envision those angels? 12 legions, watching this take place, watching them come up to the Lord. Can you envision them just itching to get down there? All eyes on the Lord. I guarantee you, all of the 12 legions had their eyes on Jesus Christ, saying, if he looks at me and nods, say the word. You say the word, and we will come down there and we'll take everybody's heads off. The Lord said, Peter, I tell you what, put up your sword. Put up your sword. Don't you have any faith? And they didn't. Usually they didn't. And neither do we. So our Lord, very kindly and very tenderly, he says to them and to us right here in verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or believe me for the very works' sake. If you can't believe my word, if you can't believe that my word shall stand and not one word will fail, when he said, take no thought for tomorrow, if you can't stop taking thought for tomorrow, then he said, believe me for the works I'm doing right here. If you don't believe I'll provide for you, believe me for the works I'm accomplishing right now. And verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, he did give his apostles the ability to perform great works and great miracles. He did give them that. But through the Word of God, through this Word of God that he has given to us, to believers, through the declaring of the Word of God, just standing up and declaring the Word of God, and through God-given faith to believe the Word of God, if God gives that gift of faith and causes a sinner to believe the Word of God, souls become saved. Life is given. Real life. Eternal life. True life. And that's greater than any miracle that could ever be performed. Some come and they just want to get out of that wheelchair. Oh, if I could just get out of that wheelchair. That's great. What I need is for my soul to be saved. And it's greater than any miracle that could ever be performed. Verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, here is what I want us to look at tonight. And I'll try to be as quick as I can. But here is what I want us to look at tonight. I believe this is the message for tonight to all people, especially believers. Our Lord just said, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Let's be very careful, very, very careful what we ask for. And the reason is because we might get it. We might get it. Let's be very, very careful. Now, we turned over here to a reference a while back. I don't know if it was a month ago or 2 months ago. But we read these verses of Scripture. And we looked at them in light of Christ. And we saw that, you know, it's not about asking for a new car. Boom, there's your new car. We saw this in light of Christ Himself. He said, if any ask anything in my name. But I promise you, looking back on it again tonight, looking at it right here again tonight, I promise you that every soul in this room, every single soul in this room, when we hear our Lord say these words, the first thought that pops into our mind is a selfish one. I promise. I promise. Me included. The reason is because I'm a sinner. And when we hear that, we think, how could I better my condition? Really, how could I better my condition? Verse 14, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. You know what this flesh wants? The flesh of every human being. It wants money. It wants fame. And it wants a life of ease. That's what it wants. Money, fame, and a life of ease. And if that's what we set our heart on, we might get it. We just might get it. At the expense of missing Christ. Lord, keep us. Even in the realm of the truth, even in the realm of declaring this truth, Lord, don't let me get caught up in numbers. That's vain. Well, I want people to sit down and listen to me. Don't let me get caught up in money. I tell you what, there's a congregation over here that wants to pay me twice as much as y'all. Do they believe this word? No. But I think I'm going. Lord, keep us. Don't let me miss Christ over this because of this flesh. Overrule this flesh. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. The Lord said, seekest great things for thyself? Seek them not. Seek them not. What did He tell us to seek? Him. While he may be found. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. Who is the righteousness of heaven? Christ. Seek Christ. With all thy getting, get Christ. So with all that in mind, this is what he says in verse 13. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. I have for us tonight five things that every sinner should ask. And I tell you this a lot, and I thought about telling you this, and then I thought, no, I'm not going to say it. And I'm going to say it. I don't have five things because that's a good round number for an outline. I have five things because that's all I found in the Scripture for this message. I would have done more. And I sincerely want to encourage us to actually ask these five things tonight to our Lord. Okay? I mean, I'm pleading with bare soul here. Ask these things tonight. And I'm starting right here. I'm starting with myself. Okay? We're going to go through them quickly. Five things. Here's number one. Go with me to Luke 18. Luke 18, verse 9 says, and I hope the Lord will let us enter into these. Luke 18, verse 9, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Man, how many is that? How many is that? Trusting, are you righteous? Are you holy? Do you do good works? Are you a Christian? Oh, yes. By God's mercy and grace, I say, oh man, if Christ will keep me, I am. Only in Christ I am. But he told this to those which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. He said, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. Now this is the one who did not fast twice in the week, and he did not tithe of all that he had, and he was not righteous and good and holy and all those kinds of things in and of himself. Verse 13 says, the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And God himself said in verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. The one who did everything right considered himself to be right, yes. He said he didn't go. This man did. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Our Lord said, if you ask anything in my name, God, be merciful to me in Christ. God, be merciful to me in Christ. Lord, be merciful to me in Christ. Lord, would you show mercy to me in the blood of Christ? Not because I deserve it. Not because I've earned it. Would you just show mercy to me in the suffering of Jesus Christ? Our Lord said, you ask that in my name, and I'll do it. I'll do it. Every single sinner needs mercy. Gabe Stoniker, don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted. Ask for it. I mean, really, really. Some of these things I don't. I forget, and I do sometimes, but I mean, really. Let's all pray. God, be merciful to us. We all know we're sinners. We all know we've sinned against you. Here's number two. Go with me to Luke 5. Luke 5, verse 12 says, And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Lord, would you make me clean? Would you make me clean? I need your mercy because I'm a sinner. I need you so desperately to not kill me for my sins. I need mercy. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. I deserve it. I'm just begging for mercy. And Lord, would you make me clean? I need your mercy. I need your grace. I need your blood. I need your water. I need your justification. I need your sanctification. I need to be cleansed. I am vile. I think I'll put my hand over my mouth. That's what Job said. Cleanse me. David said, search me. See if there be any wicked way in me and get it out. Cleanse me. I need you to forgive me for what I've done. And I need you to cleanse me from what I am. If you will, you can make me clean. Look at verse 13. And our Lord put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. He said, if you ask for that cleansing in my name, I don't want to be what I am anymore. I really don't. Paul said in Romans 7, the things that I do, I wish I didn't. And the things I didn't, that's what I do. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. What he's saying is, I don't want to be this anymore. Cleanse me, Lord. Please cleanse me. He said, if you ask for that cleansing in my name, I'll do it. In Christ, I'll do it. Number three, go to Matthew 14. Matthew 14, verse 25 says, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee. Bid me come unto thee. Lord, if you're on the water, let me come to the water. But bid me come unto... He didn't say, if it's you, let me walk on the water. That's not what he said. He said, if it's you, let me come unto thee. Draw me nearer. Lord, forgive me. Cleanse me and draw me near. I encourage Gabe Stoniker to ask our God for that tonight. Lord, would you forgive me? And would you cleanse me? And would you pull me close? Draw me nearer. Do you realize what peace we could have in this life if the Lord would keep us near Him? Do you realize what peace we could have? If the Lord would keep us in communion with Him? Those times that we're just so troubled, we're just so afraid, those times are usually the result of our heart being far from God. That's what it is. But listen to this. In Christ, he said, if you ask anything in my name, in Christ, we wretched sinners are allowed and we are welcome to approach the throne of grace with boldness. No fear. Only in Christ, though. Only in Christ. So I encourage us to ask our Lord, draw me near. Lord, would you bid me? See, I can't come unless the Father draw me. No man can come unless God moves. So would you draw me? draw me near, bid me come unto thee. He said, if you come in Christ, I'll allow it. I'll do it. Be merciful, cleanse me, and draw me near. Number four, go to Luke 17. Luke 17, verse 5 says, and the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. I forget to ask that all the time. I forget. I just forget. And it only results in my unsettledness. That's what comes from it. Lord, increase our faith in Christ. You see, faith, everybody talks about faith. Well, you just need to dig down deep in there, and you got to find your faith, and it's time for you to pull up your bootstraps and pull that faith up there and exercise your faith and do something. I can't. You see, faith is not of me. It's a gift of God. And the gift of faith that comes to me is not my faith that comes from Him. It's called the faith of Christ. So the only way I'm going to get any is if He gives it to me. Let's all ask, Lord, would you increase our faith? Lord, would you cause me to actually rest in Christ, that His work is finished? Would you cause me to actually, wouldn't you like for something to come along that is so troubling and for God to give you that ability to just trust Christ? Wouldn't that be wonderful? How's it going to end? I have no idea. But He does. And I trust Him. And I'm just waiting on Him. Lord, cause me to actually hope in Christ, not just know it. Is there anybody in here that does not know we ought to hope in Christ and trust in Christ and rest in Christ? Lord, would you let me actually change from knowing it to doing it? What should I do? Just sit there and trust Christ. Quit running around like a chicken with my head cut off. Just sit there and trust Christ. It's called faith. Sit there with a handout, waiting for a handout from God. That's called faith. Our God said, you trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. He will. Lord, please increase our faith. Let's start asking for that. Let's ask for it. I hope He lets me ask for it every day. Lord, increase my faith. Last one, number five, go to Luke 23. Luke 23, verse 39 says, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on Him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me. Remember me. When you come into your kingdom, Lord, would you remember me? Lord, remember me. He told Peter, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. Lord, would you pray for me? Didn't he in John 17 say, I pray for them? I'm being serious right now. Lord, would you pray for me? He told Peter, I prayed for you and your faith is not going to fail. Why? I prayed for you. I interceded to the Father on your behalf. Lord, would you remember me? That's the only hope I have, is if He remembers me. Lord, would you pray for me in Christ, to be in Christ and stay in Christ? Would you look on me? Would you make your face shine on me? Lord, when you come back and you gather up all your saints and you take them to your kingdom to live forever in you, would you remember me? Our Lord said, any man or woman who asks for that in my name already has a place reserved. Already. He said, I'll do it. I'll do it. So let's all ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Lord, be merciful to us. We're sinners. Lord, make us clean. We don't want to be this anymore. Conform us to the image of Christ. I want to be conformed to the image. I want to be more like Christ tomorrow than I am today. But He has got to do it. So, Lord, would you cleanse me? Cleanse this old sinner. And, Lord, would you bid me come to Thee? Would you draw me near to you? That's what I want for the rest of my life on this earth. I want to be near my Lord. That's what I want to be. And, Lord, would you increase our faith? I know you do all things well. And I know you've purposed every single thing. And I know it shall be done. So, Lord, would you give me that ability to just wait? Just wait on you. And, Lord, would you please remember us? Don't forget us. Lord, when you come back, don't forget us. Lord, remember us and have mercy on us. He said, you ask that in my name. Lord, we're just saying this for Christ's sake. We close our prayers by saying, in Jesus' name. We close our prayers by saying, for Christ's sake. You know, what we're getting at is the only reason you're even hearing us and it's not stopping at the ceiling is because of Christ. We approach you in the name of Christ. So in Christ, Lord, remember us. Please remember us. All right, let's stand together.